بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله. We'd like to welcome everyone. We're going to wait a few minutes so the people who were just praying can clear out. Then we will proceed, inshaAllah ta'ala, if Allah so wills. Welcome everyone on this beautiful day. You could be out in the sunshine, so we hope that we don't keep you too long. The class is supposed to start at 1, but with the prayer, as opposed to interrupting the class, we've been just waiting. So that's why we've been starting late. We apologize to all the brothers and sisters for that. Please forgive us. Hopefully in the near future we'll have a separate facility where we can avoid those kind of scheduling conflicts. Inshallah, today's class, which will be consistent in a way with what we've been doing, is mentioning the stands that the Muslims have taken. The early Muslims are moving up from the time of the Sahaba to the Tabi'een. The last individual we dealt with was Shuraysh al-Qadi. And I was asked a question to just talk about Isa alayhi salam because of this movie that's been generating so much excitement, The Passion of Christ. So we want to, talk about Isa alayhi salam, mentioning some the similarities and differences between Islam, how we look at Isa alayhi salam, and how the Christians look at Isa alayhi salam, and then looking at what is referred to as his passion and how we as Muslims understand it, because I think a lot of Muslims are confused, and or a lot of Muslims are going to the theaters and crying with all of the Christians when they see this horrific punishment inflicted on who is supposed to be Isa, and in reality it never happened. So to Isa alayhi salam. So as opposed to having Muslims crying for nothing, we figured maybe we can shed some light on the subject and save some of the brothers and sisters who might go to the movie some tears, inshallah. So we'll see how far we get. So as we mentioned, the difference is Bismillah, Ba'da, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Wa Salatu Wa Salam, Ala Sayyid Al-Mursaleen, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Sahbihi, Wa Sallim Tasliman Kathira. There are differences and there are similarities in how Muslims and Christians at least look at Isa alayhi salam. One of the similarities is that we both believe in what's referred to as the virgin birth, which is not to be confused with the Immaculate Conception. A lot of Muslims are under the impression that the Immaculate Conception, this is the miraculous conception of Isa alayhi salam in the womb of Mary or Maryam, Jesus being conceived in the womb of Maryam in a miraculous fashion. But that is the virgin birth, which occurs without the intermediary of a father. As Muslims, we agree with those Christians who advocate that belief, that the virgin birth in a physical sense occurred without the intermediaryship of a father. There are some, most Christians believe that. There are some who believe, and some of them, for reasons we'll explain in a minute, say that it was in fact a physical birth, but a spiritual and physical. The spiritual is directly from God, and the physical involved the intermediary of a father. So there's an earthly and a glorified body. It was referred to as an earthly and a glorified body. So we say that it was all miraculous and there's no intermediaryship of a father. Before going further with that point, just, we want to emphasize the idea of the Immaculate Conception. What this actually refers to is Mary herself being conceived in the womb of her mother, free from the stain of original sin. So the Immaculate Conception actually refers to the birth of the conception of Maryam, or Mary, in the womb of her mother, and that the original sin that afflicted all other human beings in the Christian explanation and belief did not afflict Maryam. That Maryam was removed from that. And there's substantiation for that in the Quran. Her mother, Maryam's mother, is related as saying in the Quran, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِهَا أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge for her from you and her descendant, Isa alayhi salam, from the accursed Satan. So the stain of the original sin that was precipitated by Satan is being sought refuge from. And it's inferred because that's mentioned at the time of her birth. But we can extend that to her conception. But as Muslims, we don't believe in the concept of original sin anyway. But that's what the Christians mean by Immaculate Conception, that Maryam, at the time she was conceived in the womb of her mother, was absolved from the stain of original sin. Another ayah in the Quran in allusion to this idea of the Immaculate Conception is the ayah in the Quran, also in Surah Ali Imran. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَحَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. So, O Maryam, we have chosen you and purified you and chosen you over the women of all the worlds. So, her purification can also be understood from any sin. So, even though we don't believe in original sin, that purification can be seen as paralleling this idea of the Immaculate Conception that the Christians have. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, it's very clear that Maryam's her status. So Allah, she's been exalted, chosen above the worlds, the women of all the worlds. And she's been purified. And we'll come back to her in a little while. Now, as we mentioned, there's when we talk about the birth of Isa alayhi salam, and we don't want this to degenerate into a polemic, but there are a few points we should be cognizant of, especially in these days where there's such heightened evangelical fervor in this country. This immediately focuses our attention on the genealogy of Jesus, as is mentioned, Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, Jesus, peace be upon him, as is mentioned in the Bible. There are two mentionings of a genealogy for Jesus in the Bible, one in Matthew and one in Luke. Now, the issue here is that both genealogies are traced through Joseph, who in the Christian version of the events was the husband of Mary. So it immediately for us as Muslims raises a question, if God in the Christian conceptualization is the father, then why is there a genealogy through the husband of Mary on the male side? There shouldn't be a genealogy on the male side if that's the case, that this is a direct conception for God. So this is to escape that dilemma. Some Christians, as we said, present the idea of differentiating between the earthly and the glorified body. Then in a physical sense, there was this process that occurs in every other birth, but in a spiritual sense, this was God incarnate. So, escaping that dilemma, or the dilemma presented by those two genealogies leads to this doctrine, which is a minority doctrine. Now, another problem that arises from the genealogies is there's a problem of, well, first of all, just the wording. The King Matthew says, and this is the wording of the King James Version, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Christ. So there's a lengthy genealogy here, 42 generations, from Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, through Jesus. And Luke, his version says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, in parentheses, which means that sentence wasn't in the original Greek manuscript, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So we have the problem here. As Muslims, there is a potential problem. We don't have a problem, so we believe in the Quran. There's a potential problem here in that both of these genealogies are through the male side, through Joseph, the husband of Mary, as the Christian version presents it. So even if we accept that divine scripture can attribute a genealogy to Jesus on the male side, which contradicts the idea of a virgin birth, then there's another issue, and that's the issue of identification and number. If we look at these in these two genealogies, and this is a problem, potential problem for the Christians. One is these two genealogies, even though they're tracing generation by generation, they have different names in most places. And here it's even clearer. In Matthew, Joseph's father is referred to as Jacob. And in Luke, Joseph's father is referred to as Heli. So was Joseph's father Jacob, or was Joseph's father Heli? And there are many other contradictions of that sort. So there's the problem of identification. The second problem is the problem of number. In Matthew, again, from the King James Version, we'll quote, it's related, so all of the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the carrying away into Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So that's a total of 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, peace be upon them, and all the prophets of God. The genealogy in Luke, and each level stands, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he begat so-and-so. There are 56 generations from Abraham to Jesus. So there are 14 generation difference in the two accounts. So again, this is a potential problem for the Christians. So, but we don't want to dwell on this because, as we say, we don't want this to become very polemical, but we just want to point some of these things out because perhaps Muslims are confronted in these days by overzealous Christians. So you can ask them a few questions of your own. In any case, a historical issue is the exact year of Jesus' birth. And this isn't a big problem because even though the year he was born is usually dated as the beginning of the Christian era, or A.D., and before that, B.C., before Christ, he, by almost unanimous consent of both biblical and non-biblical scholars, was born between 4 and 7 B.C. and not in the year 1 B.C. or 1 A.D. And this is based on the fact, number one, his ministry And the last year of it is mentioning as coinciding with the life of Herod. And Herod died in 4 BC. So the events narrating occurred before that time, or some of them in the same year. Another historical fact that historians considered is that a census that's mentioned in Luke is believed to have occurred in 7 BC rather, or thereabout, 6 or 7 BC. So based on looking at these historical details, the scholarly consensus is that Jesus was born between 4 and 7 BC. Now, in terms of his birth, we made mention of the Immaculate Conception, and as we said, there are references in the Quran. We've called it الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. The mother, as we're saying, mentioning إِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So there are also references in the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, to translate those verses, the first, O Maryam, we have chosen you. When the angel said, O Maryam, we have chosen you, and we have purified you and chosen you over all the women of the world. And the other verse, and when her mother said, Verily I seek refuge with you for her and for her descendants from a cursed Satan. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, in a hadith related by Imam Ahmed, and others, an Imam version of Imam Tirmidhi says it's a sound hadith, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَالشَّيْطَانُ يَمَسُّهُ حِينَ يُولَدُ فَيَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِن مَسَّ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا مَرْيَمُ وَابْنُهَا. So there's no young baby that's born except that he's touched from shaitan. Therefore, he comes out of the womb screaming from the touch of shaitan except Maryam and her son. So again, this is an allusion to the idea of the Immaculate Conception, that in the Muslim sense, this touch of shaitan, mess of shaitan, that afflicts all the children, didn't afflict her. And in the Christian sense, the idea they have that she was spared from the stain of original sin, which we don't believe in anyway, but just that she was purified and she was chosen for this great, great mission that she would undertake in the spiritual history of humanity, that she was chosen for the virgin birth. A third term that you'll see in Christian sources is the Annunciation. The Annunciation, which we as Muslims believe in also, is the angel coming to Maryam to announce, so from Annunciation, the announcement, to announce the fact that she had been chosen and that she was carrying Isa alayhi salam, the child, in the Christian sense, carrying the Son of God, but in the Muslim sense, carrying this child that was created miraculously without the intervention of a father, which is not as miraculous as the creation of Adam alayhi salam, who was created without a father or a mother. Someone, how could Jesus be born without a father? How can Adam be born without a father or a mother? At least half of the requisite physical requisites were there. The mother. Adam, the mother, and the father weren't there. So in each case, Allah Ta'ala, His word, kun fayakun, be. And it is. So, but the Annunciation also, as Muslims we have, وَذَقَالَتُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْ حُسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. O Maryam, Allah gives you glad tidings of a word for him, from him, the Messiah, Christ, the Son of Mary, who will be a distinguished in this world and the hereafter, and from those nearest to God. So, and other versions. So we do have the idea of the Annunciation, that the angels came and proclaimed that Mary was carrying this special child. And the Christians have this also, the Annunciation, but in their version it was Jibril specifically who came to Maryam. And the Quran is mentioned in the plural with قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بكلمة من حسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم. So these are some common points, and then we mentioned some points of difference. Now the Bible contains very little detail about the youth and the early life of Isa alayhi salam. So the birth is mentioned, then there's a gap, there's very little mentioning. And the Quran similarly has very little mentioning of the early life of Isa alayhi salam, but the Quran does relate one very miraculous event occurring after his birth, and that is his speaking in the grave and defending the honor of his mother. Excuse me? In the cradle. I said the grave. I apologize. I was testing you guys. You all passed. Speaking in the cradle. No, I apologize. It was a mistake. It wasn't a test. Speaking in the cradle. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِتِّ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. So she brought him to her people, or she came to her people carrying him, and this ayah is a proof that ata is muta'addi. There's a grammatical ja'a also, and without a pronoun. So like ja'aka Muhammadun. So ka is the maf'ul and doesn't have a pronoun. Ja'a ilayka. So here wa atat bihi qawmaha. That's a grammatical point. That this word is a transitive noun. She came to her people, and it's not transitive with a preposition rather. So you don't say فَأَتَتْ بِهِ إِلَى قَوْمِهَا فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ كَرِيًّا. So she came to her people carrying him. قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِتِّ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. They said, Maryam, you brought something. فَرِيًّا is something amazing, but in a negative sense. Like, how could you do this? They're amazed, but in a negative sense, not in a positive sense. Wow, that's incredible. What a beautiful baby. They're like, how could this happen? So they go on to, Ya Ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'ata sawt, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. That your father wasn't a man of perversion, and your mother wasn't a prostitute or vile lady. So you come from noble lineage and a family of pious worshipping people that includes prophets. So ya ukhta Harun, mufassirun say, from the lineage of Harun, which she was, and this is from the Ali Imran, or there was a very pious person in that time whose name was Harun. So these were the Jews. So Harun was a name that was used. And like that very pious person, she was known for her piety and for her taqwa. So it's an attribution to a level of piety of this individual, Ya Ukhta Harun. So those are a couple explanations that the exegetes give for that terminology. Your father wasn't a man of vileness, and your mother wasn't a lewd woman. She wasn't a prostitute. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. So she pointed to him because she was fasting. She had taken an oath to fast, and her fast was to refrain from words. And this type of fasting has been made haram in our Sharia, but it was lawful in the Sharia of the Jews to take a fast of words. Is أَنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. I've taken an oath to fast for the sake of the Most Merciful One. And her fast was that she wouldn't speak to any human beings for 3 days. Therefore, she pointed to him. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا. So they were outraged because, first of all, you've done this grave thing. Now you're going to, so you've insulted our moral sensibilities. Now you're going to insult our intelligence by intuating that a child in the cradle, a newborn, is going to speak. So they said, how can we speak to one who's in the cradle as an infant? قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. So Isa alayhi salam spoke to them. So this is, we said, there are some consistencies between what we've been covering. This is one of the mawaqif of Isa alayhi salam. This is one of the stands of Isa alayhi salam in defending his mother. So it's, in this sense, it's not a total deviation from what we've been doing in this class. So he said, I am the servant of Allah. So first of all, he affirms he's a servant and creature of Allah, and not the son of Allah. And they say, إِنِّي عِبْنُ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I'm the servant of Allah. أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He's given me the scripture and he's made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. And he's given me, he's made me blessed wherever I am, and he's advised me to undertake regular prayer and to give charity as long as I live. And this is an affirmation of the fact as an abd, servant of Allah, he is mukallaf also. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ أَلَّسَنَا الْحَدِيثِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقَبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Verily, surely Allah is good and pure. He only accepts that which is good and pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And Allah has commanded the believers with the same thing He has commanded the messengers with. So, in that sense, we're all equal. As what? عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. فَعِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. فَمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And the station of pure servitude is the highest maqam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes His Prophet at various unique stations that no other human being has occupied, such as the final messengership, He refers to Him as His abd. سبحان الذي الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. Who has revealed unto His servant the scripture. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. So glorified is the one who has taken His servant for journey by night. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a servant of Allah. Isa alayhi salam, a servant of Allah. All of us, servants of Allah. As-salamu alayk, ayyuhal nabi, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna, ibadullah as-salihin. Peace be upon you, O Messenger, and peace be upon all the servants of Allah. So we pray that Allah Ta'ala blesses us to perfect our servitude. And this is the key to our liberation. Liberation lies in our servitude to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then we're liberated from any worldly chains. Even if we were someone's slave, if we're servants of Allah,
We're free.
And even if we're free, but we're serving our money, husband, wives, clothing, music, then we're slaves. That's how it works. So he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can see the similitudes. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also he says, وَعَصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا, and he's advised me to with regular prayer and charity as long as I live. مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. And he orders the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَعَبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِّيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, وَعَبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِّيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, worship your Lord until death comes to you. Al-yaqeen, huna, in this ayah, death, meaning death, al-maut. وَعَبُدْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِّيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until death comes to you. And all of us as Muslims, as Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, you multitude of believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, be mindful of Allah as you rightfully should, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ, and die not except in a state of Islam. So until you die, until death does us part. And we should reflect on this. We should reflect on till death do us part too. There used to be part of the Christian marriage ceremony. I have an old book, like these old grammar books Sheikh Hamza has. I have an old Christian book on marriage. Inshallah, I'll bring it next week. I'll read some of the things in it. They were religious people. Sometimes we as Muslims, we're Muslims and we're obeying the law, but sometimes this religious spirit leaves our lives. We become like robots, just checking off a list. And this affects our marriages, you know, the husband and wife robot. I think I did that one before. But you check, these are my rights, these are my responsibilities. So you're going around the house bumping into each other like robots. You're going, boom, excuse me, you violated my right. There has to be a spirit of devotion first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that permeates the marriage. And for a long time, Christians couldn't get divorced. That was it. That's what they meant, until death does its part. They meant it. It was serious. And we need some of that, really, because the domestic situations are just becoming too devoid of that real deep religious sentiment that provides a very strong glue to check people's actions and to keep people in check. Anyway, so until I die. And the same thing in our worship. And marriage is, that's ibadah, that's an aqid, right? It's called aqd al-zawaj. It's in mu'amalat, the interpersonal relation. In our business transactions, in our transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, salah, وَأَصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا, as long as I live. So when you take the shahada, it's not a joke. That's it for life. You're Muslim, khalas. It's not until the next fad comes along. As long as I live, I'm making a covenant with God as long as I live. Through thick and thin, good and bad, easy times, hard times, as long as I live, this is my life. Pray. I got to get up. No, oh man, I'm sick of praying. Allah understands. I still believe La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah understands. Wa asani bis salati wa zakati ma dumtu hayya. وَبِرًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. And one who is righteous and is enjoined upon me prayer, charity as long as I live, and righteousness to my mother. He didn't say to his parents. And this is something very consistent in the Quran. Isa bin Maryam. There's no mention of Joseph, even some in the Arabs, some people say Yusuf and Najjar, Joseph the carpenter. The Quran is very clear, there's no mention of Yusuf and Najjar, a carpenter, is Isa bin Maryam. Isa, the son of Maryam. So he says, in righteousness to my mother. So it's not Bir. We studied, it was Sheikh Salik, some of the brothers and sisters before I got here. Birul Walidain. Righteousness to the two parents, birru walidain. Wa birram bi walidati, and righteousness to my mother. And he hasn't made me wa lam yaj'alni jabbaran shaqiyya, and he hasn't made me a wretched, arrogant tyrant. Jabbaran shaqiyya. And all of this we should reflect on, because we can become tyrannical.